Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
Every year we sound like scratch records, but we're just saying, you know, unless you have safe sex, you're playing Russian roulette with your life and someone else's. We can educate people in sub-Saharan Africa and they listen, but every new generation of American kid that comes up thinks that they're, you know, they're superhuman and they won't get it.
Well, that's Elton John speaking at the Elton John AIDS Foundation benefit on Monday. He had some things to say about sex education. The answer is more education, more safe sex. Is that really the truth when it comes to AIDS? Dr. Jennifer Robach Morse joins us on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 20th. She's founder of the Ruth Institute as well as the president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. Jennifer, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
I'm doing well. Elton John says it's really a matter of better sex education and safe sex, and if people only understood that, then we could get this AIDS problem under control. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, one hardly knows where to begin, you know, that the idea that all we need is better sex education. To stop the spread of a sexually transmitted disease, what you need to do is have fewer sex partners. I mean, partner reduction is public health 101 for the spread of any sexually transmitted disease, not just AIDS or HIV, you know, but any sexually transmitted disease. And somehow, I don't hear Elton John saying, have fewer sex partners, you know, that what you really need to do is have fewer sex partners, reduce the number of partners you're having. So somehow, the gay lobby, and it has to be said, it's largely the gay lobby, accompanied by all of the sex radical lobby, wants to be saying, let's have safe sex, without saying that means fewer partners. You know, so it's like they're trying to thread this needle of saying that, yes, it's a behaviorally induced disease, but the proper behavior to focus on is whether you use a condom or not, not the question of how many partners you have. So they don't want to get into that part. Because they don't want to be asking people to reduce their sexual activity, but they want to make sure that everybody uses a condom. So it's a very strange and very thin kind of tightrope that they're trying to walk there, I think.
It sounds as though kind of the principle at work, the unstated principle is, we must leave one's choice of liberty to have as many sexual partners as one desires, untrammeled under all circumstances. That is inviolate. You have to permit people to have as many partners as they want. So the only other thing we can talk about is safe sex. And I guess I got to wonder, is it working?
Well, you know, it's interesting what you said is you used the word permit, I think, Todd. And the fact is nobody is talking about actually limiting what people do. All we're talking about is what we talk about, is what we encourage people to do or not do. You know, so we're not even willing to encourage people to have fewer sex partners. That's what I think is really quite striking about the whole thing. Because, you know, of course, nobody's talking about somehow the government's going to stop you or anything like that. Nobody has any kind of power or authority over that. But the question is, what are we going to encourage people to do? What are we going to say, this is a worthy activity and this is not a worthy activity? This is a stupid activity and this is not a stupid activity. We're not even willing to bring sexual activity itself into the question under the heading of things you should or shouldn't do, things that we're going to talk about, whether they're desirable or not desirable. All we're willing to talk about is whether you use a condom or not. And it seems to me that's a very, very truncated conversation to be having when everybody knows that what you're dealing with is a disease that whose risk of transmission increases greatly with the number of sex partners that you have, you know. So that's why I think it's a very thin line that they're trying to navigate, and frankly, it isn't working very well.
As far as you know, does kind of the standard fare of sex education in the United States, and here we probably talk about located in public schools or public education and public information, things like that, does it note that limiting the number of sex partners is the most effective way of preventing the spread of sexually transmitted diseases?
Well, now that is a good question, and I don't know the answer to that, Todd, now that you're asking me that question. I know that there are, if you're going to get federal abstinence money, there's a list of things that you have to include as part of your messaging, and that would certainly be, you know, one of the things for getting abstinence money. But if you're just talking about generalized sex education in the United States, I'm not sure the answer to that. There's quite a bit of discretion that school boards have about what to do and not do. And so, you know, I'm sure there are some programs where they say that, and some programs where they just, those words never leave their lips, you know. So, but I think it's odd that that's not the first line of defense, because that's the most obvious line of defense. And so what that points to is the fact that we're unwilling to say that there is even a rational reason to limit the number of sex partners that you have. That's what's so striking about it, you know, Todd, it's not enough that we're saying, okay, everybody, you get free choice, you get to do whatever you want. We're not even willing to say, look, here's accurate information about the whether it's sensible to choose this particular thing or that particular thing, that having a lot of sex partners, having anonymous sex partners, that's really probably pretty stupid and has a lot of risk attached to it. You know, we're not just coming clean and saying that. You know, it's all very sterilized and sanitized, you know, what people are willing to say as a general rule. I'm sure there are programs where people do say those things, but people have to be very careful, because somehow to say that having multiple sex partners is a bad thing, there are people who take offense at that and think that you're moralizing. Well, no, you're not moralizing. You're just stating the obvious connection, the obvious public health connection, that this is a risk factor which goes up a lot with the number of sex partners. And then when you look at places that have been successful at reducing the rate of new AIDS infections or HIV infections, when you look at places that have been successful, partner reduction has always been the core strategy. Increased condom use, I don't think has ever been shown to be particularly effective, you know. So always the partner reduction really should be the first line of defense, but that's precisely the thing we're the least willing to talk about.
Is it also because there is something in, I mean, to put it quite frankly, in the gay subculture, and then also in kind of the place where the sexual revolution has found its greatest fuel, say the college culture, the culture of young America, American youth, that is now promiscuity, what we used to call it, is simply woven into that culture. Now we don't want to admit it.
Right. You know, it's an entitlement. See, if you're not willing, if you want to say that unlimited sexual activity is an entitlement, then you have to be extremely careful about saying, but some kinds of sexual activity are better than others. You know, nobody wants to go out on a limb and say some forms of sexual activity are better than others. And, you know, if you're just looking at it from a health point of view, lifelong monogamy is much more healthy lifestyle than pretty much all the alternatives. But nobody wants to come right out and say that, right? Because that would be considered an unacceptable limitation on people's freedom. But the fact is, if you're going to be truly free, you need to be fully informed. And one of the problems with trying to educate young people is that young people think they're bulletproof. You know, young people think they're immortal. And so risky behavior goes down as people age, in part for that reason. You know, in part, people become more realistic. Of course, they also become a little bit less, you know, shall we say, sexually eager as they mature, just because of the normal course of the flow of hormones through the body. But you know, young people basically think they're bulletproof. I don't know if I've ever told you this story, Todd, about...
And we've got about 1 minute.
Oh, okay. Well, then I won't tell you the story. Go ahead.
Well, we'll save it for next time then.
Okay.
When we talk. Finally, then, with about 30 seconds here, all the condoms in the world, are they going to really do what the celebrities and the people who kind of on the leading edge of the sexual revolution promise us they
will
do?
Well, you know, condoms don't work perfectly for anything, you know, and you have to use them every time, and you have to use them perfectly every time. And so, you know, people are saying, well, abstinence is unrealistic. But I think it's also unrealistic to believe that people are going to stop in the heat of the moment every time and put on a condom and put it on correctly. You know, I don't think that's very realistic to think that that's going to happen either. So, but even at that, condoms don't prevent the spread of all sexually transmitted diseases. And so I think they really are being oversold as a substitute for saying, you know, really, you need to limit the number of partners you have.
Dr. Jennifer Roback-Morse is founder and president of the Ruth Institute based in San Marcos, California. She taught economics for 15 years at Yale and George Mason Universities, and she's authored the books Smart Sex and Love and Economics. You'll find a link to the blog and website for the Ruth Institute under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Jennifer, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, it's Hour 2 of Issues Etc. on this Wednesday afternoon, October the 20th. Dr. Scott Murray is going to join us. We're going to continue Issues Etc. Reformation Week. Today, the subject is the hiddenness of God. This is an uncomfortable subject for many people, that God would hide himself, that he would be what the old theologians called Deus absconticus, a hidden God. And of course, when we talk about the hidden God, we need to set it within the framework of what the 16th century reformers would have called the theology of the cross. We'll be doing that in the second hour of Issues Etc. Dr. Scott Murray, pastor of Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, will be with us for the entire hour. You stay tuned as well.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.